Has stuff gone the wrong way? Absolutely. I was doing a best friend's wedding who plays on the PGA Tour last fall. All the power goes out, and there's a 2-minute, 3-minute lapse in music. I had my backup. In a perfect world, music never goes out at a wedding, but it did happen. Put the backup in, went and fixed the primary. Primary's fixed, cut the backup off. From a recovery standpoint, people came up and applauded me.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Drop and Unknown back with another morning show. Hope you guys are doing fantastic today. It is beautiful outside. And you know what I'm really sad about, man? I'm sad that through all of our podcast content, we have yet to do this in person together. Boy, I like that virtual background. That's really cool. Was that the Golden Gate Bridge, huh?
The Golden Gate Bridge. You know it.
I love that.
San Fran. I love San Fran.
Do you?
I do.
I've only been for a second, but it seems cool. It's beautiful.
I actually escaped Alcatraz back in the day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The water was cold, though.
Oh, so literally as a prisoner.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I was actually in jail.
You're doing the whole Sean Connery thing?
Actually, formerly was an actor.
Were you?
It's called a DJ's Escape from Alcatraz.
Uh-huh. How about a DJ's Escape from the Worst Gig? Because that is what we are talking about today. Was that not a nice segue right there? Did you?
That was nice. I got to tell you about mine. So this was early on the day when we were at a company that, you know, gave us some low-hanging fruit opportunities. And they put me on a gig that was like, I mean, you would have thought like Brantley Gilbert was officiating the wedding. Like, they'd only wanted, like, you know, out there kind of music country. And one of the girls came to me after the show, because I was playing normal wedding stuff, like Dua Lipa and like, Britney and whatever. And she was like, I just want you to know, we have a lot of DJs here, because she was part of the venue. We have a lot of DJs here, and you're the worst one I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was the third event I've ever done for the former agency that we work for.
That's, brother, that's not the confidence you need going into the show.
And the only reason it didn't bother me too much is, like I said, I felt like everybody at that event was like, you know, would have rather me played Brantley Gilbert type of music. And so I just kind of shook it off as like, I think they hired the wrong guy for the job, honestly. And so I just kind of, it's never happened again, but that was early in the career.
Yeah, look, we've all had those early in the career gigs. And I'll be honest, man, I still get nervous. I still get the butterflies before every gig I DJ, some more than others because of the severity of the gig or the importance of the gig.
So what's the worst, or has anybody ever said anything mean to you?
Oh, dude, every gig I DJ.
they're like, can you come back same time next week? I'm like, no, I can't.
Just so you can make fun of me again, please. Please stop holding up playback money on your phone.
I always say, whether people are laughing at you or with you, as long as they're laughing, you're doing a good job.
I'll say I have had some hard critics before. DC, you know, I did the college scene pretty heavy at one point. Those gigs are pretty brutal, but I'll say I've never had an absolute blunder where it's made me question, should I keep doing this? But I don't want to say worst gig, because if the people are listening, like, I don't want them to get offended because they couldn't control it. But I'll say the toughest gig I had to deal with was a few years ago. It was actually for a wedding. Oh, rest in peace, weddings. But it was pouring outside, man. It was an October wedding. It was in clearly like a homemade barn type of thing in the Carolinas, and it was pouring rain. And they had in this venue, it was pretty open door, but they had a couple of wall AC units that, you know,
Uncle, wait a minute, Uncle, we could be on the same venue. Did they have horses out back?
I don't know. I didn't have enough time to worry about the horses because I was worried about my gear cutting out. But
carry along.
Every time the ACs kicked on, the power flickered in the venue. Like, my stuff started to not audibly stutter, but my controller was borderline buffering. Like, I get it. We draw a lot of power, man. We got lights, we got speakers, we got all the stuff plugged in. But Uncle Jimmy's electrical job did not do me a favor. Dude, I tell you what, Oh, it was like it was a 4-hour reception. I was sweating it even during setup and sound check, but that was the longest 6-hour event of my life. It felt like 12 because your butthole is clenched the whole time, just like, is this going to go wrong? And no, that's not your fault. It's not a DJ's fault. We worry about it. People like you and I who are real perfectionists, like you mentioned it in another show, like we care so much about the planning and the execution of every event that we do. Dude, it was, I think I actually ended up with a migraine after that gig because the whole drive home, I was in knots from it. And then I had one other gig that was really tough. It was for like probably a $300,000+ wedding up in the mountains. And they had a lot of Kim Kardashian's wedding vendors actually come out. Both the couple, they're models from LA. They got married up in the mountains and all the way down to a customized design dance floor. And she wanted just syncopated music all through the ceremony. Everything had just a playlist through dinner. It was the most controlled my execution has ever been. And it was with a really high end wedding planner. And man, it was one of those gigs where it was a super, super tough gig. I mean, she had multiple wedding dress changes. They had multiple cakes. It was one of those things. And I don't want to go into it too much more in detail because again, I don't want it to be a noted wedding of who or what it might have been, but man, it was a tough one, brother. How about you, man? I want to spin it back to you. No pun intended.
To be honest, I'm usually 10 out of 10. That just was one off night. You know, I'm kidding.
You're in the dude.
I will say, I'll never forget
about
that comment because you know, like, I mean, it takes a lot for you to go up to somebody and be like, I want you to know we have a lot of DJs come through here and you're the worst I've ever seen. I mean, that's tough. I will say there's been some stressful events, but I've never been told I did a bad job ever since that event. And I think that goes back to our preparation of like, has stuff gone the wrong way? Absolutely.
Every
I was
gig.
Doing a best friend's wedding.
Every gig
plays
goes wrong.
Who plays on the PGA Tour last fall. All the power goes out and there's a 2-minute, 3-minute lapse in music. I had my backup.
Yep.
In a perfect world, music never goes out at a wedding, but it did happen. Put the backup in. Went and fixed the primary. Primary's fixed. Cut the backup off. So there was like weird lapses where people probably thought it was my fault. But at the end of the day,
dude, but you recovered so well.
People came up and applauded me.
Yeah, absolutely. And those efforts shouldn't go unnoticed, for real. Like that's what you and I have always talked about, man. When I was helping you come up in the game, like backup, backup, backup. Like everything needs to be backed up. And yeah, no, I you know, not to take it from you, but I do remember one other wedding where I had other bigger DJs from Charlotte in attendance at this wedding. And, you know, it was when you go to plan and you ask what kind of music are your guests going to want to hear? Like for some reason that wedding, they gave me like the 10 percentile, like the music that only 10% wanted to hear. And it was really tough, dude. It was really, really tough. And then there were other DJs that knew who I was there, and it wasn't like the pressure of it, but it was like they're real particular. Let's just put it that
way. You ever done a dry wedding?
I have. You got to pull out all the game for those.
You got to play lots of YMCA.
No, Whitney, I want to dance with somebody. We found love, you know, that stuff. Yeah, a little MJ, but yeah, you got it. You can't, you know, you can't send it. It's so hard to send it because they're not there. You know what I mean? They're not going to be there, but yeah, man. All right, let's scratch that. Let's roll into the back half on it. DJs.
Paris Hilton. Do you think Paris Hilton's a good DJ?
Do I think Paris Hilton's a good DJ? I think she looks good as a DJ, but I think the guy sitting underneath her table turning the knobs for her, he's a good DJ.
Oh, come on now. She's at least fake turning the knobs.
She's fake turning the knobs. I mean, I saw one thing where her mixer wasn't even on.
Yeah, I did see that. Are we going to like use names here? Are we going to talk? Because I saw one in Kansas City that was terrible.
No friend names. No friend names, but non-friends. Yeah, I'll use that all day long.
Well, we're talking about celebrities right now.
Yeah, we'll go celebrities.
I mean, do you have celebrity friends?
I got a couple.
They're DJs?
I got a couple.
Yeah, I forgot.
I used to open for Quest Love, man. Now, that guy, that's a funky DJ right there. Another drummer DJ. Ayo, shout out.
I actually think we should do another segment on how musically gifted most DJs are. That's been the main thing I've learned getting into the whole industry is how musically gifted everybody truly is. But that's for another talk.
Yeah. And again, I think that's a separation between a basic DJ and like an artist, a musical artist. But yeah, no, another day, another topic. But yeah, all right. So Paris Hilton.
So do you think celebrities use their stardom to promote, you know, whatever their brand might be through music?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I feel like if they've been slipping a way to get back into it, because I think DJing again is huge with Generation Z, man. DJs are, I would say, more sought after to see live, minus Taylor, than most artists. I would say most artists, because like, yeah, the Eras Tour was massively impactful. But yeah, I think DJs are, I think it's a low hanging fruit opportunity that you don't need to have a lot of talent to do the basics. I think celebrities definitely take advantage of that. And I can't speak in too much detail, but like another guy that I just can't stand, James Kennedy, dude, I can't, I know you're sitting there laughing. Did you tell me you've seen him? Or was that someone else?
He was in Kansas City when I was there and all people were going.
Yeah, that was it.
They were like, don't go because it won't be great. And they actually work in the music industry. So.
And the difference between James Kennedy and Pauly D, I know people think a certain way about Pauly D too. Pauly D was a DJ before he got into reality TV. Correct. James Kennedy, I really would love to see the behind the scenes because you only see on Bravo, you know, like the highlights of what he's doing. I'd really love to see the behind the scenes and see how much work he's actually putting in. So, he could be putting in the work.
So because he came to Charlotte and played at our favorite venue here, one of my friends was opening for him and I had a bunch of friends that were going to go because it was James Kennedy. And I was like, I promise you the opener will be better than him. And they all said the opener was way better than him.
Yeah. Now he, as much as I love to bring energy when I DJ, I don't know, man. I think, I know I'm extra. I know I'm extra. That dude's just so extra. And I don't know if you can hear it, but I do have the newest edition of the Wardrop family in the room with me. Dancer, our mini doodle, is behind me digging up a hole in her dog bed. So if you hear that, I'm really sorry. But, you know, fam's always in the studio with me, whether it's hey, Z or the dog or the wifey.
Speaking of family, if I ever... you know, get lucky enough to get married. What are you going to do at the wedding? You going to drum? You going to DJ? What are you going to do? You going to hang out?
Both. I'm going straight Fred again on your set, man. I'm bringing the piano, the guitar, the bass, the drums, the ones and the twos. We're going to have ourselves the time, but no, I'd obviously be honored to DJ your wedding, but man, you know, I'd rather be attending it and be there to support you. And we get James hype or, you know, we get hook and sling to DJ your wedding.
I kind of would like, I'm on a dub there right
James
now.
James Kennedy like, to DJ your wedding.
I might get like Crank That or Grizz to come through and just absolutely. Yes, murder. Put a rail, let's get a rail. Has anybody ever ridden a rail at a wedding? That's a good question.
Let's get after that, man. But yeah, no, I mean like, all right, Paris Hilton, James Kennedy, for all those Bravo fans out there too, who watch Summer House, I love this dude to death. He's my spirit animal, man. If I didn't have a kid, I'd still probably be like him. But Kyle Cook, I know you don't know a lot about him, man, but that's another guy who it's like, yeah, dude, it's fun to learn how to DJ. But now I just saw him post something the other day that he's going to be DJing and supporting like his alcohol brand and stuff like that. And I'm like, I get it. It's great strategy, but it's like, is it, you brought it from the start with the question, man. Like,
well,
yeah. Are celebrities abusing the ability to DJ?
I feel like there's an element of being, I like to say purist, you know, and I feel like there's an element of where you can get away in DJing, not being a purist, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, I mean, everybody knows who they're listening to. They're not listening. You know, James Kennedy hasn't put out any music that people truly listen to on a daily basis. And I will say people like Summit, Hype, Don Diablo. I mean, that's they're global,
they're artists. You know? They're real artists, man. Like, and I got you actually turned me on to a bunch of those guys. Like in depth. Like, yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, I heard their music. But like, you're the one who really like. Just, I think probably just mentioned the name so much that I got sucked into my brain. And And then I started listening to them. I'm like, man, they're massively talented and they're just good people. They're really good people, man. Like, you know, you see in social media, like James Hype's just one with the people too, even though he's blown up. I know Don is also the same way too, man. Like, just really good people. And same with John Summit, man. He's not afraid to get with the people, but like, don't you touch his tequila. You do not touch his tequila. He straight ripped it out of that girl's hands.
And if your girl has got a POV backstage at one of his sets, that ain't your girl.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to Miami this week. Can you get me a VIP girl pass to space? But no, seriously though. I think that there's, I don't know how to say it, and I'm not going to sit here with blank space on this show, but I am definitely a little bothered. And you said the right word, purist, and I'm not saying I'm a purist. But I have a great respect for everything that I cut my teeth through to get to DJing, from a controller to an upgraded controller to be miserable on the CDJs, to having to learn how to DJ vinyl, to then having to produce music to separate myself from the button pressers. And that's all I feel like celebrity DJs are, is button pressers. And it's really, it's sad, man. And like I said, Pauly D, good DJ from the jump, and got it before he got famous. But I don't know, man. Those are my feelings on it. I don't have a lot more to say about it, but yeah. You got any other DJs sitting at the top of your brain who are like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? So Shaq excluded. Shaq, we already talked about Shaq. Shaq's one of the people. Oh, okay. Pivot real quick. Sorry. Scratch that. Will Ferrell. Real DJ or fake DJ?
I think a little fake, but he sold it. He sold it well.
He did. And look, he's not out there trying to make a career.
Great song selection.
He's not trying to make a career out of it. I thought that it was, whether he's got no skill or he did it way back in the day, like in the closet of his apartment when he was a kid, like he went to support his son on Parents Weekend and at USC of all schools too, man. And like, it's what gets the people going. Like that is,
and that's a great dad. Everybody wants to be on the decks for a split moment at a hype party. I mean, you know, when you're DJing a party, it's getting out of control. How many girls come up there and say, can I do the wiki wiki? Or like all the cringy things they say. Or, you know,
true
like,
story.
At every point of a great party, everybody wants to be the guy that's curating. That's a fact.
Absolutely. Every wedding I do, either the bride or groom wants to touch the decks. Like even last week, when I was DJing, the festival in Charlotte, you know, and I'm inviting to it, happily married, love my wife and she understands, but like, like girls want to get into the DJ, but there's something about it. And that's not why I do it. But like, yo, I had at least a half dozen that like came up and they, yeah, and not to sound braggadocious at all, because I'm not inviting them. I'm not saying come here at all, but they're like, can I get a picture? And then, like, during the picture, they want to touch the decks.
And then you show them on my Instagram handle, right?
And then I do. I'm like, hey, have you met my friend Will? And have you met Will?
I thought we stopped doing that.
You don't need a Hinge, brother. You don't. Between you DJing and, you know, like, me being a wingman. Maybe. I don't know how successful that's been. Maybe you should boot the apps back up. But yeah, no, I think what Will Ferrell did was super cool for his kid. Obviously, he's not trying to make a career out of it. And like I said, I think Shaq is, like, it is a career. You know what I mean? He took it seriously. He dove in. He partnered with the right people. And he's doing real stuff with it. And this is a great retirement career for him. The fact that you retire from Game 7, and then you get to go do this? Like, come on, man. Like, what a dream. I don't know. What are your feels? You dig the Shaqopotamus?
There's some that have been, you know, in it for the longest time. I think people even think DJ Khaled, whatever. But, like, he was cutting it so long ago. And Shaq was cutting it so long ago. So, I mean, there's celebrities that have been in music before they were celebrities. And then there's people that just literally use it to – I don't know. Like, maybe they have enough money and they don't know what to do with themselves, or they're trying to promote something. And that's where it gets tricky, because a lot of times, you know, people will text me and be like, oh, I saw this artist and he was not good. And I'm like, well, yeah, you went because you think he's hot because he was on a reality TV show. He's not a good DJ.
Facts from Will Unknown right there. No.
And I'm like, I could have told you that.
Very, very accurate. All right. So we hit worst gigs, hit worst DJs, in our opinion. I think that
what
was
do you
good.
Think, what do you think? All right, let's talk about this. Worst, I have it in my head right now. Worst song you've ever played, and have you ever been booed? Because I have.
Yes. Yes. I've had a twofold. I'll let you take a minute. You go first, and then I'll wrap up with mine.
So I was doing a prom, which I don't really ever, to be honest, I don't enjoy doing those.
I'm going to boo you on stage right there. The fact
that I don't enjoy
I've doing done like three school dances in my days. I will never, I get hit up all the time. And I will never ever, doesn't matter what age. I don't do sweet 16s. I don't do anything under 21 anymore. Sorry.
I was trying to help a friend out and I was in full EDM mode, and like three kids came up and requested Love Sosa, which, by the way, was throughout my senior year of high school. So I really messed with Love Sosa, because that was at my prom, was the peak of that song. So they're like, can you play Love Sosa? And I'm like, sure. And I played like an EDM remix to it, which, you know, kids in high school really hate EDM. That's just a fact. They don't like it at all.
I had no idea.
And so, yeah, nowadays, like, and I didn't like EDM when I was 18. It also wasn't as big, but like, you start playing like, you know, Tiesto, Avicii. I don't think high school kids like that as much as they like Billie Eilish, all that stuff. Anyways, so I play a remix to Love Sosa, and it had kind of a hard, almost dubstep drop to it. I was a little cringy when it happened, and they all, 500 of them, booed me. And I
did they sit down? Did they sit down is the question. That's like the ultimate insult.
They did the worst, which is everybody look at me and put their hands up. So then it looks like 500 people are reaching for the sky.
Oh, Lord.
And I immediately went to Shake It Off by Taylor Swift, and they love me now.
I've had students sit down right in front of me. What an insult when you have people sit down. All right. So my song, and it's twofold, because it has never done anything good for me, but bop, 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 bop. Yo, when you drop that Hanson in the club, when you drop that Hanson in the club, I think I played the wrong Taylor, to be honest with you. I played Taylor Hanson instead of Taylor Swift. But true story, played at a venue off of 8th Street in D.C. I dropped Oombop at about 12:30, 1:30 in the morning. It was already lit. And I was like, I had thrown some heat back to back to back to back to back. You know, it's that time of the night where you're just throwing bangers out. And I just was like, it's getting a little aggressive in here. Let's have a cool off moment. Cool off moments are not a good idea. I'm sorry, Dancer is trying to get in my lap. So I dropped Oombop. And the worst brawl I have ever experienced in a club. It was like if you were to be in like West LA and you play F the Police. Like, it was a bloodbath. I mean, the sink in the bathroom was broken in half. There was blood everywhere. It was a full-on brawl. They shut the club down. They shut the club down.
They were mad at you?
They weren't mad at me, but I don't know, man. Like, I think Oombop really triggers some people. And it was a massive, it was a brawl in the club. They shut the club down, closed it for the night. Police came. It was a whole thing. Investigation. Do what?
You get hired back?
Oh, yeah. Of course I got hired back. And I got paid for the whole night, too, which was great. But then I have also broke out Oombop about a year ago at a venue not to be named in South End, because I love the venue. And again, we were hard in the paint. I have rolled right into 128, and we were bouncing hard. And I scratched that, threw Oombop on, and man, we were hitting some really great high energy sing-alongs, and all of a sudden it was down to like 15 people. And it was only at like 11:30 or midnight, when you're supposed to have that place absolutely rocking and the tent bouncing. And it took about 20 minutes to rebuild that. And I will Vowed to this day, I'll probably never play Oombop again, no matter how many times people ask for it.
Sounds like you shouldn't play it.
No. And so
last train of thought before we wrap up. So if you do lose a dance floor, how do you get it back?
It's a good question. By Usher. Get Low. Get Low by Little John. This is when you save I Want to Dance with Somebody. You save like your five songs. Tonight by Pitbull. You save a couple of those songs for when you see it thinning out and you know you need to get it back. You know, those absolute slammers, man. When how some people at events use line dances to get people on the floor.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that's cheat code. You really need is you need your bangers. You got to save them. Don't play them too early. Don't play them too late. But that's what you play to get the hook back in the fish's mouth. And then when it's there, you just give it a tug, and you start reeling it back in, man. So 100%. Now what do you think?
No, I like it. I agree. I feel like line dance is a little bit of a cheat code and you just got to hit the right amount of energy to get people back. I call it like conversation killers. So what song would stop a conversation? Like, hey, I got to go.
That's a great way of putting it. I love that.
And there's, you know, there's a couple, but it depends on the mood. But a lot of people DM me or like, you know, girls I'm talking to or like friends of mine that are at parties. No, this happens all the time. Hey, I'm at a party in Tampa and it's a little dead. What song would you play? And I don't even know who's at this party, but I have like five songs that I always text people. So
I love that. I love that, man. Well, this was a good one. Had some good points in this and hope everyone likes it. Thanks so much for tuning in to the morning show here of Scratch That. We, from Will and Known and myself both, we appreciate y'all listening to this. And hit us up. You guys want to hear something? You want to talk about something? You want to be on here with us? We're not like that. We're not straying away from having people want to conversate and engage with this. We want to make this community-based. So hit us up. Love to hear from you. Love to talk with you. My man Unknown, thanks for hosting with me today, brother.
No doubt. We'll see you on the next one.
Yeah. Keep it real. Keep it safe. Keep it real safe.
That's it.